Sure.
That was my homework. I see it right here.
Okay.
I'd like to call the iBisbee order. Today is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. And the roll call is Stanley Stern is present, Denise Loth is present, Rob Page is excused, Kathy Schnabel is present, Carrie Gebson is excused, and Stephanie Peavy is here. David Smith, Council Liaison, is present, and Nina Williams, Staff Liaison, is present. I see no one here for call to the public, so we will move on to item one, which is review and discussion regarding the ULI report issued in 2015. I did call ULI today. I left a message that we were really using their report again.
Mm-hmm.
The background, this is a report that came out of a meeting that David and I had in 2013 in Tucson, Arizona, where we were introduced to ULI. And from that, we moved forward. Justin Johnson and I contacted ULI, and we put together a request for a City of Bisbee Technical Assistance Panel. And we received permission. It was funded by the Union Pacific Railroad Foundation. And we brought down a panel of six people, who were absolutely excellent. They spent a day in Bisbee. We met with them the night before for dinner at Roca, and then proceeded to take them on a bus tour of the city the following morning, and then had a panel discussion which lasted about 6 hours. We had large attendance at it, probably 60 to 80 people from Bisbee came. We had a lot of press about it. And the iBisbee committee met with them, and the panel addressed, as you know, 5 topics. And that's how I'd like to start our review tonight. Because it makes sense to me that, and the more I read it, the more timely it was. I mean, this is really crazy. The first topic is tourism. I can report to the committee last night on a squeaker. We got permission to search for a director of tourism. And that search, the actual information has gone out to various people today that we were looking for that, to fill that office. We put a 4-week timetable on because we're not sure how fast the tourism industry operates. And but we are going to, we're circulating our job opening not only to cities and towns but to the tourist industry. And Jennifer Lurie was helpful in getting us into certain publications. So
are we doing Indeed, some online?
We are going to do some online, unfortunately.
Because that's really, with graphic artists, that's what you really...
As you know, we lose our human resource director tomorrow. But I will talk to him. We need to go online with this, absolutely.
Because that's where...
That's where we're going to find him.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that first thing in the morning, but his last day is tomorrow, so...
I thought it was Friday, no? Oh, Friday they'll work. I forgot. Sorry, I work on a Friday.
We're not sure the city's going to be open tomorrow, but it is Thursday. But on the tourism section, as you will note, there were certain things. When they were doing this, we had it out for RFP to build up our advertising campaign and our whole Discover Bisbee. Because when iBisbee formed, we found that our web presence was really about circa 1987. And the degree was to bring it up current. We ended up with a firm of 3 people. Jennifer Lurie was one of them, and 2 others from Bisbee, who did the very extraordinary work of building a branding campaign for us, as well as a new website. And they were known as PB&J.
It was Peter. Right. That's right, I remember that.
Peter
Bridges.
And they did it for $15,000. Had we gone to outside, we'd have spent low 6 figures. And they really did a wonderful job. So that was the start of all this as we move forward. And then as you read this report and you get into the tourism section, you find that some of the things we've done, they talk about rebranding, and we've obviously done that. There are other things, though, that were in here that I thought were very interesting, and that was the linkage with other communities. Now, Cynthia Conroy has used a term called the ribbon, and she looks at the ribbon as Douglas, Bisbee, and Sierra Vista, or just as a geographical ribbon. This report looks at bringing Wilcox into the mix, Tombstone into the mix, and actually creating packages that would allow tourists to see various entities besides Bisbee. When we get our new tourism director, I think that's something that they ought to look at. What was your take on it, Kathy? I know that you were reading this report too.
And I've read it like five times.
I've read it twice.
My thought with the whole destination tourism, which is what they call it, you know, the whole countywide tourism, is that that's going to come out of AOT or Cochise County Tourism Council. And it would be great if we hired somebody to say, look, this is, you know, if we summarize some of this and said, you know, this is what we would like you, as you proceed in your involvement with this group, you know, and give them
a report that should be read by.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I think everybody, I think all the council should read it.
I agree.
You know, because it really is an objective look at this.
The more I read it today, and I read it twice today, the more appropriate I found it to be.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole destination tourism is really part of the job, I think, of the tourism director.
Yes.
And now we can expect that because we've created a more high-level job. And the regional path and trail system, I just think we haven't approached it right.
I have called Robert Quintanara, and I've left word for him. We're about the two-year mark. The two-year mark was on the Galena Trail. This is a trail that is very interesting. It shows the soil reclamation work of Freeport-McMoRan. It runs along Highway 92. It shows the soil reclamation work, and it also shows the Warren Air District of Bisbee. It's a trail that we actually had the Boy Scouts do work on. And as they did that work, we found out that the lawyers at Freeport put the stop on us doing anything because they were still actively involved in soil reclamation at the end of the trail. Robert Quintanara said, let's wait 2 years and see what we can do. We're at about the two-year point. He also wants us to take a look at several other trails that go run through Freeport land and Bureau of Land Management land. If that comes about, then we really can start a trail project. There's also a bicycle trail project that's mentioned in here. Mm-hmm. And that strikes me as a project that makes some sense. Again, we probably have to wait till the new city manager's on board. But Kathy, you mentioned last night a bicycle trail that went all the way out to the airport and back.
Yeah, and I thought of Stephanie because Stephanie is the jock that I am not.
Okay.
But there are tons of bike trails around here. They're, you know, it's public streets, etc.
They have to be marked.
Do they legally have to be marked? I don't know a lot about this.
We would want to mark them because if we did it for tourists who came down and want to bike in this area, and there are a lot of tourists over the years who've come down to bike, and bike teams that have come down to work, that the trail would be a marked bike trail.
Yeah, I mean, they go up, I live on Highway 80, they go up past my house, my dogs love it. It's like the most exercise they get all week. But, you know, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that I think we haven't looked at. This was all about outdoor tourism. That was the whole point of this.
Right.
And I send bikers, like we get motorcycle riders all the time in Bisbee. I always tell them about the Shirakawas because it's a great ride on Highway 80 down and then you cut over. What a great bike ride. You know, this wide open highway People in the city don't see things like that. These are all free. I mean, these are all there. It's just about us telling people that you can stay in Bisbee and you can do these things. And we've been trying to own the trail and decorate the trail, and I think maybe we need to lower our vision a little bit and come up with something to sell people who are active people.
I think so, and I think that that's a good point.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, help.
The latest discussions I've had with Robert Quintanar is discussing opening up the railroad, old railroad bed that runs parallel to Airport Road, and it starts in Warren, and it's cinder base, of course, and so we would actually use it as a hiking and bicycle.
Nice.
And Robert indicated that we could take it down and at one point and cut across Freeport land, which that would then have to be excavated, of course. But everything else is basically in place. The rails have been pulled, everything. And that it would cut across Freeport land down to Naco Highway. Yeah. And then back up.
And the liability is not an issue for them?
They were talking about as long as the city wanted that, then we could work on it.
Like we'd lease it for a buck.
Where does it starts and where does it start? I'm trying to visualize where
it starts. In the area.
Is it off Arizona Street? Behind those?
No, it's more over by the traffic circle.
South of the ball field.
Yeah, by the ball field, behind the ball field.
Behind the ball field.
Right. Right.
I think it parallels the drainage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you go out to the airport that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a bike trail or is it a walking trail?
Both.
Both.
And the reality is...
It's a railroad bed.
Yeah.
So it's wide.
Okay, sure.
The other thing that's coming up is the county walking trail.
Yeah.
The county is building a trail with exercise stations and all sorts of things, and it's open to the public, so we can actually, you know, if we came up with something where we tried to let people know what outdoor activities we had, we can take advantage of things we already have.
Right, that'll be at the county building.
Mm-hmm. But here we have an opportunity with Freeport saying, look, we think we've got mm-hmm. clearance to do this. Now, this is something I think we have to hop on because, frankly, if we don't hop on it, it's not going to get done.
But what I'm saying is some of these things aren't interdependent on anything.
Right.
We can do them without Freeport or without, and I think we've missed those over the last 5 years. I mean, we've done nothing outdoors.
But it is today, February 20th, mm-hmm. 2019. Let's start. I mean.
No, I agree. I'm not, but something with Freeport's going to take 2 or 3 years.
It may not.
You know,
the only reason it may not, where the other one took because they were actually doing soil reclamation work there, they may be able to open up this more quickly. I will talk to Robert, and he will tell me what our timetable is. And through 9, I'll get word back to the committee of what the timetable is and how we can open it. Because when I talked to him last, they were really cooperative. They wanted to provide signage. They wanted to provide information on the various flora in the area, that type of thing.
I mean, that's optimal. I mean, that would be awesome.
So that if that's still where they are planning, then this could really be a very nice trail. And we don't have to worry about the Galena Trail at first, because they may still be doing soil reclamation work.
Yeah, I think
we were looking at tying this in. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dave.
To the Science Center mm-hmm. and the STEM program by the botany and identifying the plants and this sort of thing. So it would be a multifaceted project.
So I will talk.
I mean, I think that's great, but I think in the interim, there's all sorts of little things that could happen
right.
that could build a picture of Bisbee as a community with outdoor activities.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even a picture of the playground that the Bouchabais donated in both parks to show what kids can go do. We don't have that, you know, that's low-hanging fruit. It's there. We just have to...
And we don't have it on our website.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I have worked in this area when Jen and Julie Epperson were the part of the Chamber of Commerce, and they wanted to start a trail map. So I was looking at ones that are already there, like off of Lachlan, that go around, which are not groomed. To get people up there safely, it would be groomed, but not turned into a, you know, it should be a hike. And we were trying to extend it, but there was the problem of a lot of the property was going through private property. A lot of the trail was going through private property. I mean, people are walking on it now, but there was that issue of we're going to have to contact so many private owners and see if they'll buy into this.
We had a real problem when we raised, first thing started talking about trails. Someone thought we were going to run a trail through Zacatera Canyon.
Jesus, yeah.
And suddenly it was like, how dare you? And we realized that we had to be very careful where we put trails.
Yes.
And we could not encroach on people's property.
Well, the other thing is that I was with a mountain biking group, and they would mountain bike that same trail off of Lachlan. It's a very difficult trail, technically difficult. I'd walk more than I'd bike because it's not groomed well, but it could be a really nice mountain biking thing, along with hiking too. There's a lot of places that do that. They split.
But it goes through a lot of private property.
Again, well, no, we were trying to extend the trail. We weren't even sure who owns this property. We had talked with Freeport, and at that time they weren't interested. This was when the last time the chamber was in effect. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is you have two sets of bicyclists. You've got the mountain bikers, and then you've got the road bikes. And that's what the groups that come in a couple times a year, America Bicycle mm-hmm. and Adventure Bicycling, they come in. And I've often wondered why we're not tapped into them
yeah.
more. But the thing is, if you go online, Tucson Bicycling Club has a bunch of maps on Bisbee road biking. Nice maps. The ones that will take you to Sierra Vista or shortcuts if you want mm-hmm. to. But they've got them all there.
Okay. Now, with this committee, we've got to be careful. We're throwing out ideas. I believe in execution, because if we don't execute, all it is talk.
Mm-hmm.
We have, at this point, we have an opportunity with Freeport on a cinder trail mm-hmm. that might be just perfect mm-hmm. for us. We now need to close the loop, and we'll communicate through NINA, we'll communicate with the committee as we go and what we're finding. All right, you're talking about another trail, you're talking about bicycle trails.
Mountain biking, specifically.
And are there mountain bikers, a lot of mountain bikers in Bisbee?
Yes, they go to Tucson. And we've often talked about it, wow, I wish we could build a trail here, groom it for mountain biking.
But you said that there are maps already of trails
around
Bisbee.
That's road biking. The road bikes? That's a whole different group
of
bicycles.
You have to help me. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. That's a whole different group. They're on the pavement. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who see when you're driving your car.
The ones I've been talking about where it's low-hanging fruit. The maps are there. We're just not telling anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get those maps?
Mm-hmm.
This is her thing.
And then could you circulate them? The way we circulate, yeah. because we're tied to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, we can't communicate with each other.
Okay.
So what we do, we send NINA of the information. NINA then is our communication spot, then sends it out to everybody else regarding these trails. Now the question is, how do we, if we move forward with that, how do we put the word out that there are these biking trails in Bisbee? How would you suggest we do that?
Well, first of all, I'd contact the Tucson group. It's huge. And they'll disseminate that information. There's a couple other biking groups further north, and the mountain bikers are well organized. Again, Tucson is kind of the hub for the southeast mountain biking group.
Do they come and stay overnight?
You know, we're not sure, Stan.
Because one of the things we're trying to do here is generate tourism, which generates dollars
sure.
and tax dollars to the city. So the question is, you've got... Is do they just ride down? That's a long ride. They ride down for the day and ride back? Or do they come down and stay overnight and things? Do you know, David?
Well, often the bikes run their cars.
Yeah.
They don't ride them down.
But, you know, we could make it lucrative. Certain hotels would probably be very willing
to
offer
packages.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because bicyclists spend their money on their bikes. They don't tend to spend a lot of money on lodging, in my experience.
The demographics.
We used to have that bike thing here.
Yeah, the Volta.
They would, like, share a granola bar for breakfast, you know, but still.
Almost they had the same thing about the birders. When the birders were here,
was kind of true, but you have to reach out to them, I think, and get certain lodgings that will do specials for the cyclists.
Stephanie, you've got an assignment.
I knew it.
You've got an assignment, and that is to figure out how we turn this into a tourist event. And then communicate through Nina if you get information before our March meeting. I will work with Robert Quintanara and we'll communicate with the group through Nina on the bike trail that's on this roadbed, because that sounds also, it's a hiking and a bike trail.
Mm-hmm. It's big enough, wide enough for both.
Well, that would be a big family draw.
You walked on that one?
I've ridden it.
You've ridden it?
Yeah, it's not a very... It's a nice, easy trail to be off-road. Mm-hmm. Nice, easy.
Is it pretty?
Yeah. Yes. Not by standards of Bisbee in the hills and mountains. But it's pleasant enough for a family. Could all go together.
It's a pleasant family hiking trail.
And if you added some plants and signage and interest.
It could be a deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be better for families than something that's native, you know.
And that covers a major point in this ULI thing when they talk about the trails.
Yeah. And I think they were really leaning toward the outdoor tourism.
I think
they were leaning toward family and outdoors and active.
They have outdoor adventures as a big
We were talking
potential.
Before the meeting about how cool it would be if we had some young person who wanted to do adventures with people and take them to do, I mean, what a lucrative job for somebody youngish. To be a guide, yeah.
My son was looking into that. Rock climbing, outward.
Yeah,
what was his final, what was his?
Well, it's conclusion. All about insurance. I think it's easier to do, if you had private property, I'm trying to think, there's a loophole. It's easier to do it on private property than on like Freeport property,
right.
Things like that. So,
but that's for rock climbing.
Yeah.
Would he be interested in doing guided?
He already went to Freeport with Fred.
Okay.
And the thing was, there's no money in it, you know, for a guide. And then you have to get all the certifications, and there is a lot of different things.
Freeport, when we have to go through their mining school.
Right, right. But and it wasn't a beautiful trail. And he's like, you know, I don't want to bring people up here. This is not...
Where was that? Where was that, Denise?
It was by the trail that you were talking
it's
about.
It's called the Galena Trail.
Yeah.
It starts out at School Terrace Road and moves along...
I think I know.
Up along Highway 92, but on an elevated area. Not on the highway, but on an elevated area above it. And goes out to about Tin Town. And that's where they were doing soil reclamation. But the beauty of that trail from Freeport side of it was it showed their reclamation work, which is something they want to demonstrate. And on the other side, you were looking at Warren.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really a pretty trail. What else on tourism while we're... I'm walking through the ULI report.
You know, one of the things about the, they talked a little bit about doing gardening, aquaponic gardening.
No, we'll get there.
Oh,
I'm going to take it.
High margin, low production manufacturing.
Okay, I have a question for you, Kathy. On page 19 of the report, they say many businesses in Bisbee are already closed by June.
That's not as true now as it was then. It's gotten much, much better.
Okay.
We have more. The rents have gone up, or people have bought the buildings, and they can't afford to close for 3 months.
Do you have the question they were talking about in that section of the report was to try to put out the word that Bisbee was a cooler climate in the summertime. Mm-hmm.
We've done that before.
And so. Has it worked?
It's cool in Bisbee was the tagline we've used. It works. You know, we get a lot of Tucson and Phoenix people here in the summer, and something they said in here about... extending the tourist season, and I liked what they said, and I know I've read it before, but I wonder if there's not something we can do to make May through September look a little more interesting. In Tucson and Phoenix, target market, people who are in hotter areas, you know, we've done broad, you know, broad-based stuff.
Maybe what we do, and it's a budget thing, and again, when we have our new tourism director, maybe what we do is using NPR as a site to do announcements about the weather in Bisbee.
And you know, there are social media ways that is so much less expensive, and that's why we really need...
As you saw in our last meeting, some of us are not very current when
it comes to social media. But that's okay, because the tourism director will be, and there are ways...
Right, because we put it in there very hard.
And there are a lot less expensive. There's calendars you can get on. We do it for Bisbee After Five. Like Heather Green, who does that part, is very knowledgeable about different calendars that are free in Arizona to put your events on.
Stephanie, did you see anything else in the tourist section?
Well, I'm just going back to this bicycle thing, and I'm not obsessive about that, but what caught me is that people who rode bike, I've seen the demographics on it, and I used to lead bicycle tours where I'd have a group and we'd go for 4 to 5 days. And the demographic for road bicyclists is 45 to 59. It's an older group. Their income is over 100,000 typically, and they would be the type that would stay over. The mountain bikers are a younger group, and they're the ones sharing the
notes. As part of your assignment, take a look at the road bikers as well as the market, because you just hit the key thing.
I did.
You've got a demographic that works for people who could come to Bisbee, could also shop in Bisbee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, we're looking at how do we generate tourism, how do we generate dollars for our merchants, and how do we generate tax dollars for the city. So that's the goal. As we go through these things, how do we do these things to make it good for our city? So,
I think there's a lot of potential.
You have an assignment.
Don't you have a master's in some kind of hospitality?
Exercise physiology.
Oh, an exercise. Yeah.
I have a master's in economic development.
Okay,
too.
I thought you were. Yeah.
But, you know, I've often thought, I've ridden myself to Safford, and it's a beautiful, it's a long, I mean, I camped overnight to get there, and then camping in Safford. But those roads are beautiful. There's hardly any traffic going down. It would be a perfect long tour, or a couple day, four day, with the base.
Is anybody doing bike tours when you're looking to see, and can we entice them to bring their tourist groups to Bisbee?
Some already are. There's three bicycle groups that come here, usually March, April, and somehow are not linked in with those groups. That would be a good thing to do, I think, because they've got national magazines that they put out to their members. That would be a really good...
So you're going to become the bike person.
Well, I'm also a trail person.
On this committee, you've now got the... You've now got the title of the bike person.
It's already there. That's the easy part.
Okay.
It's already out there, so I can get that.
Okay.
I guess you just need the trails.
There are some out there. If you go online, you can find them.
Yeah.
I want to move on while we're doing this, because this report, as you now have seen, is a very good report.
It is.
It really is excellent. The next part is the focus on high margin, low production manufacturing. A real story. I have a guy that I mentored is now taking the job of heading the U.S. operations for a company based in London that has developed software and algorithms to take the FICO score, the Fair Isaac score, and enhance it to determine banking practices, employment practices of people that will give both lenders and collectors a better idea of their candidate, whether it's a candidate for small loans, credit cards, that type of thing. They're expanding to the U.S., and he will lead that operation. Watch this. He needs to be in a city that has great access to computer engineers, because they will be setting up their own computer systems and algorithms for the U.S. market. That knocks out a city like Bisbee, because let me tell you, I hopped on it, because he was absolutely in the position to choose the city where they were going to be. But he needs computer engineers, and we don't have that. But here they're talking about cottage industries in this report. And the cottage industry thing, we have already started. I had a laugh, a distillery. And this report talks about distilleries.
Yes.
And we have people who have started a distillery in Bisbee.
Wow.
It's near my house.
Oh, no kidding.
Animus Road, right behind the
cemetery.
Okay.
They're literally on the... They border city land, so we'll be annexing them.
They're also, Flying Leap now has a distillery, and they're doing tastings
Flying
for the
Leap
distillery.
City.
Yeah, yeah. They have a tasting room for wine, and now they've got...
Scotches and things?
Some kind of that icky stuff. but anyway, so it's not on site, but still, if you like tasting alcohol, and we've got two distillery tastes and two breweries, because Rob Page is bringing in another Tombstone Brewery into the convention center. So we're going to have...
Which is a local
it's Tombstone, yeah.
No, it's a business. Yeah.
Tombstone Brewing?
Absolutely.
Is it? Oh, well, I don't care. I was excited because it's regional, you know.
That's Becky Orozco's.
Oh, is it? Okay. So we're going to have two brewery, basically, tastings. We're going to have two distilleries.
So it's really funny.
And
when this report, which was written 3-4 years ago,
it's very exciting.
Talked about distilleries, bingo.
I was getting pretty excited reading this again. It was like, yes.
We have distilleries.
Mm-hmm. What are they distilling, this new... business?
It's going to be whiskey. American whiskey.
Authentic. That goes with the
and
authentic.
It's right. It's very cool because it's all Cochise County corn is an example.
That's so cool.
And they've already bought the futures out at Elfrida.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now looking at the first drop coming out. It was going to be September of 19, but it looks like it'll be March of 20.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very cool.
They also have a B&B that's going in there for handicapped.
Hmm.
And it's a gorgeous place that no stairs or...
Wow, what a concept.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
So... The question that came out of the report were other potential businesses, cottage industries, that could be developed here. Now, there was an attempt by a woman who started an education.
Oh, the craft school?
The craft school.
It's kind
what
of on,
happened?
It's kind of on hold. I don't know. She's kind of had some trauma in her life. And I don't know if she's going to go back to it or not. It's a shame because...
Yeah.
It was really well attended.
Did it work?
Yeah.
It was a very interesting thing, if I might.
Sure, of course.
She's very, very talented. She didn't pull one penny out of it. She just kept reinvesting it. And instead of capitalizing on what she had, she didn't think that crafts and arts were something that you necessarily make money at. And so where she could have had 5 schools going at once and actually had a draw for that, she would do one every couple months.
And she admittedly had a hard time letting other people help her, because I kept saying, you know, there's some really creative people here, you know.
Well, Denise went to one of her schools.
I took one of the classes.
I didn't.
I'm sorry, you were going to that
school. Yeah, I wanted to. The welding class.
It was really fun.
So the bottom line is, Ms. Chair, that I was getting at is, there is a niche there. Mm-hmm. There is an absolute want. It provides people an opportunity to come to Bisbee and actually get to say they're doing it for educational reasons.
Mm-hmm. And stay overnight and the whole thing.
Oh, they mm-hmm. they stay for a week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a plein air painting class, we've added that to the plein air event. People will come and stay for 5 days, and then they'll participate in the painting. You know,
who knows this woman? Do you know her?
I do. I know her pretty well. Yeah, I can talk to her and see.
Reignite that, but she has to look at it as a money-making venture. Yeah.
There are grants for that kind of thing.
There are. And the hard part for her was like letting go of doing it all by herself. I kept saying, you know, get Heather Green involved. I mean, Heather's one of the sharpest young people I know, and she just had a hard time. She admitted that she had a hard time. But let me talk to her. I mean, if Central School could take something like this on and use it to raise funds and maybe get a group of people, or...
The thing I like is it attracts people. They stay overnight. Mm-hmm. They go to our restaurants. They spend money in town. Mm-hmm. They're getting their education. And it's a cottage industry.
And most artists really enjoy Bisbee. It's very visual. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a perfect match.
So you have an assignment.
I'll talk to her.
I'll just underscore that one of their questions near the end is, what can be done with kids? There has to be more of an emphasis.
Yeah. There really is at Central School. They have festivals for kids.
Yeah, they do now.
And
they do.
We did in the plein air this year for the first time in years. We actually had a kids' plein air that Carol Chandler did.
Yeah.
So we're getting some people here that are really active, and it's really exciting, that'll take on something just to provide it to the community. So
that's where the Science Center comes in also.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Right.
We've got the playgrounds, mm-hmm. the Science Center. We don't have to keep hitting the Queen Mind Tour.
We need to add some stuff to the website to really focus on some of this. Because
a mm-hmm. note for the new director.
Yes.
Right. Right. I mean, but what we're hitting on here is with the new playgrounds, mm-hmm. the
Science Center.
We do have the Mind Tour.
We also have, Central School does the Make Festival every year. I could get from Lori all of the kids' stuff that they do. They do a lot. Yeah.
Because then you could put that out, because so many families have young kids, and you could be done with this in a day. Mm-hmm. Kids would be bored the rest of the week.
And you know, the museum is fun upstairs, because there's some automated stuff that the kids can really, like you're mining. So the museum is a kid thing, you know.
Yeah.
At least kids maybe 7 and up.
All right, but this is an area we haven't focused on, mm-hmm. and we don't have any of our publicity and things focusing on a family place mm-hmm. to visit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all drinking and eating.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, as you know, part of the thing when Logo first was down here, they came up with the thought that we were a party town. And I remember you and I were looking at that, and we said, oh, wait a minute, what is this?
Not the message that we want.
Well, I think some of the people that are more party-oriented are doing more online promotion. So I think if you're an internet person, like The Quarry, she's probably the best self-promoter in town, as far as letting people know what bands are playing. And there's always 5 bands every week playing. So it does make it look like a party town, because they're reaching out more than anyone else.
But she's bringing in business.
She is. She's bringing in a younger crowd, which is really good.
She gets good bands. I mean,
and she does. She gets bands on their way through, and she lived in San Diego and knows bands from there. So she's got,
anyone who is in the clothing design business?
Not anymore.
Marilis is
the one that really knows about that industry. She's not doing design.
But she's a retailer.
She runs Pantera.
But she was a designer.
She was.
What I'm looking at in this report They looked at that as a possibility.
And at the time, Megan was doing...
Connolly?
Yeah. But then she had a baby, and one thing led to another, and she's not active anymore.
But that's another potential industry...
It is.
...that could be used in our town.
You know, and something else that we have that we've not really even mentioned is Optimo Hats. I mean, he uses all the old school methods.
I've used them.
Old Bisbee Roasters, Bisbee Coffee Company. You know, I mean, we've got... I wonder if we could buy some advertising and get these people to kick into it a little bit that features some of our homegrown stuff, like a full-page ad with hats and coffee. And
he does a lot of advertising.
He does. He likes... Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's certainly in the magazines.
But, you know...
You know, what I always remember, particularly in the summertime in Tucson, every Friday in the paper was a double sheet, which was Greer, Arizona. And it would say things like, in Greer, it's 74 degrees.
Oh, nice.
And then the B&Bs were, and the fishing huts and everything was advertised there.
That is a great idea.
And it's just
beautiful in this summer.
Our new person.
You know, I keep bringing this up, but it gets no traction whatsoever.
I mean, I would like
to... If we're looking at advertising dollars and Target, Phoenix and Tucson, and even if you did it, if you could afford it once a month to, you know, it's... In the hottest part of the year, it's 90 degrees in Bisbee.
You could even boost it on Facebook one month, and the next month you could do print ads, and then you could assess which really had the best.
Right. Will the merchants pay for that kind of advertising?
The thing that's hard is being the person in the middle trying to collect. It's a nightmare. But my thought was, if we did something that was like a homegrown specific ad, we could solicit those merchants to be part of it, because that would be really interesting, like Jackie's pastries and
and
pull this whole
antique shop,
you know,
and like an antique section.
Well, but that's not but I think we could do topics maybe and get people to we just have to really shop
but
for
put
the
outdoor activities with that.
That would be another in the kids activities
and things like outdoor pickleball.
Yes,
bocce ball.
See, that's what we need is somebody to take all that outdoor stuff and do this.
And aggregate.
I mean, we have so many outdoor activities that we already have.
Right.
That we don't have to do that.
But we simply don't promote them.
Yes.
But we don't promote them.
But I do like that idea.
What we're talking about is promoting them.
So that's something our new tour guide, our tour is
but we can kind of look at some of it. And they're going to have a learning curve, you know, unless it's somebody that lives here.
Maybe. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Before we end, I do want to discuss with the committee the new tour guy, okay?
Sure.
So I'm just...
The new tour director or tour guy?
Oh, okay.
I said tour guy.
You did?
Guy or gal. Yeah.
Tour person.
Now, all right. So the next area I want to go to... Firstly, we have little or no collaboration with Cochise College at this point.
Really?
That's true. But I think, David, didn't you guys discuss some stuff about working with our local schools? So that kind of all...
Yeah, well, I was on the foundation board. And I just resigned because I now went on the Copper Queen Foundation board. It's a brand new board. But I still have great contacts with JD and everybody else there, and they will provide us whatever. I mean, Mark Schmidt is meeting with me this week. I mean, they're there for us. We just have to tell them what we want.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Well, the ULI was talking a lot. One of the points they made too was our schools, which I think came up with you guys.
Right, and that's an interesting
and maybe topic. The college could kind of, I mean, this whole educational system here, you know, there could be, I don't know, some kind of collaboration.
Well, there is. I mean, we are one of the schools, I mean, we have a number of students graduating that have multiple college units.
No, I know a lot of those kids.
I mean, that's a big
It sure is.
That's a big deal.
They were talking about in this report that JTED put.
Yeah.
That was the place that they were putting in their, which is giving kids a hands-on experience.
Well, you know, Cochise is doing a lot of that right now. They've got this program that you can sign up for where you work with a group and build a house. And you learn the electrical, the plumbing, the construction. Yeah. It's out of Sierra Vista, Cochise College.
Right, yeah.
And they've got a great welding program in Douglas at Cochise College. So they do have a lot of that.
But along the same lines, we've got a good construction class in high school now. That's doing great.
Yeah, right.
But it would be great if they kind of...
Well, they are.
Okay, good. Because the library used them to build some stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, now we come to housing. Housing is big in this thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big area. They write a lot about housing. The question is there a springboard of housing development ahead of economic development? What land exists for creative alternative infill housing opportunities, and what steps can the city take to prime the hump for future housing development?
I am so glad you brought that up, because I needed to talk to you guys. Well, the city. I remember that land I told you about. It's close to here.
Sure.
It's residential land, and the gentleman owns it, and we don't have a purpose for it, and the developers aren't coming in. We have a lot of little lots, you know, little parcels that are part of a big acreage, and no one is buying them. No developers want to come in and develop. And so my question, and the seller's question, is there something that the city could use the land for?
Where is it located?
It's right, so Melody Lane, if you were to not go out to 92, but take the back roads, it's back in there.
Is it Bisbee or
it's
county?
Part of us, it's city.
It's city.
Yeah.
It's
there's two 50, sections.
54 lots back there. Better.
There, I think... It's been a while since I've looked
at it. It was laid out at one point and passed by the city.
And then there's another section that Charlie has that's right by Safeway, like down from Safeway and back on that side.
Right, that's, is that McIntyre's?
I don't think so.
Because Mark owns...
Yeah, no, it isn't Mark's. But the problem with that land, I understand, has like plumes under the ground.
Oh.
So you can't dig. It's, remember we were discussing the sewer, how to get sewer to the property. But that's not like, that's going to be one issue, I think, for that property to sell. But this other land, it's surrounded by residential homes. And it's just a big piece of land just sitting there that... This gentleman was thinking assisted living,
it's
a little too, it's farther than 2 miles to the hospital. And I think there's a 2 mile rule.
Is it a hospital, pharmacy, and grocery store?
Well, grocery store and senior center.
Tax credit.
Right. Okay. So, but of course, yeah, you'd want your tax credit. But so it's like, there's a lot of land like that.
Well,
there's
a lot of land.
We've had some meetings. Fairly recently, with Habitat and so forth, and Habitat's finalizing their paperwork, and then she is coming in, the director's coming in. She's actually third generation Cochise County. It's kind of interesting. And she is going to actually be in town just talking to people, trying to get to understand the needs, and then we will be working with Habitat in trying to establish affordable housing. And so the first part we were talking about is the 8 acres that we own behind Safeway.
Right, yeah.
But Mark was also at those meetings and was indicating that we have a possibility of picking up portions of his undeveloped land.
And
who is Mark?
Mark McIntyre.
Is that the...
He owned the land where Safeway is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He sold them that shopping center.
Is it behind the senior center? Well, you go past the senior center on the left?
That's
right. Yeah. Is that it?
Well, it's between Safeway and the senior center.
Okay.
It's that strip that goes all the way up to 1 acre south of 92.
Right, right. And there's so much land like that.
Oh, yes.
You know,
everywhere.
So the bottom line is, yes, the city's interested in all of that, because I'm looking at annexing Border Patrol and the street right next to it, which is Delta,
mm-hmm.
and there's 5 homes there, as well as Camino de la Flores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So right. Okay, so that's where that's that right other commercial there. And the residential right properties there. Are.
Right. And then the distillery as step one, and then okay. step two is going to be north of Stanley's house.
What about Naco Highway?
It's very interesting. Habitat is in this report. They suggest working with them.
And we are. Casera Vista, crashed and burned. And so Tucson Habitat has received their Cochise County license to National Habitat. And it's interesting, they have large amounts of money available.
So are they mostly just interested in assisted living?
No.
Or are they
affordable
open?
Housing.
Affordable. Okay. That's great. And is she going to be checking out all sorts of properties? So mm-hmm. is she going to... Okay.
Of course, Denise is always put under her hat.
The good deal.
Well, they're after the good deal or the free deal.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. And mm-hmm. hey, yeah. you never know. Some people may be tired of trying to sell their land.
It's going to be low cost. Yeah. They're going to be looking for low cost land.
Yeah.
Well, these people can get a great tax write off.
Now,
yeah, because they can claim part of it as a donation.
Right. When this report was written, there were a lot of homes that were on the market. You indicated at our last meeting that the market is tightening up.
Yes, it is.
And are you still that? Mm-hmm. You were moving towards the seller's market, yeah. you indicated.
We used to have, every day I would get an update on houses that are new on the market, and commercial, mm-hmm. everything. Yeah. I would get everything. And it's down to, the only thing that shows up now are properties that are going under contract or sold. So mm-hmm. there's nothing, very little new properties are coming on the market. And if they do, they go very quickly if they're decent properties.
You indicated,
like within a couple days.
You indicated at the council meeting when you spoke that you were dealing basically with people who were looking for retirement homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were basically from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this report focuses on that as a market for us. These are people in their late 50s, early 60s?
Yep. They're getting ready to retire, or they have just retired, and they've been coming here as tourists, and they decided this is where they want to be.
And what kind of price point are they looking at?
They've got money, so I would say anywhere from 150 up.
Hmm.
They're not people without money. Google execs, very successful people in their businesses, and they're from, like I said before, the Northeast, the Northwest, and the middle, like Minneapolis and places like that. The cold areas.
Cold places.
Yeah, they're all coming down, and
it's cold here.
All different walks of life, but they're spending the money.
But you don't have it. But you're running out of market.
Yeah. And the ones, I mean, there's always those low-end homes that need, the fixer-uppers. We have a lot of those. So those will come and go. But, you're looking for the flippers on those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 60 to 80,000.
Yeah. And less.
And less.
Less, 30,000, 40,000. Yeah. Yep. And lots of land. There's a lot of land sitting out there that needs to be swooped up.
We know one thing. We know the Border Patrol is going to be increasing.
It is?
In size.
Oh, come on.
Sure. It's one of the areas when the Trump administration is increasing the Border Patrol.
That's right.
One of the things they suggest in this report is having a meeting with the Border Patrol, looking at what they're looking for in housing.
Yeah, like
if we have no inventory... And the housing developers we brought down here could not see a way to make money as rapidly as they could in developing housing in Tucson, as an example.
I think new housing would be great if they were made, the houses were made to look like the craftsman style homes, the old fashioned-y types of homes. People like those, and it's, you don't want to, like a northeastern house in Bisbee, or
mm-hmm.
you kind of want to keep the look a little bit like The town?
The ULI said that we were losing a lot of people because we didn't have modern, that the people like the Border Patrol and stuff wanted a modern home with a dishwasher.
Yeah. Well, the inside could be whatever.
Living
you know,
plan.
Yeah,
you know.
You need the modern.
Right.
They also indicated our school system was a real detriment.
Really bad.
Real detriment to this thing. And that's why we should look at retired people who are retiring, which is the market that Denise is telling us that she's finding.
Yeah, but if we could parallel that with trying to help make the schools more vibrant, which I know you're looking at, so.
If you had someone build 20 homes here, how fast do you think you could sell those 20?
Well, it would be hard
price
to say.
Price point.
Yeah, now you're talking a higher price point. It would have to be, like for the people around here, I don't see people here buying. Mm-hmm. It's for the other people coming in that are buying. $250 to $350 possibly, but I don't think that would be a problem to sell.
But the real question is, if they're going to look at it, is how fast can they sell off the development?
Are you familiar with that development by the senior center?
Yes, very. Yes. I just sold a house in there.
That's Mark McIntyre.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's where Grant lives.
Yes.
It's a nice development.
It's very
nice.
And
I'm wondering, you know, who developed that?
That was Mark
McIntyre.
Was it? Okay, mm-hmm. See, I don't know any of this.
And they're really, the thing with...
They're pretty nice places.
They're solid.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really nice, and the people there have kept them up. And there's character to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they are.
It's just
they're kind of that...
Every house has a little bit of different, like...
Gingerbread.
I have to go look at it.
Yeah,
it's really sweet little neighborhood. I've never been there until.
And in fact, the land that I'm trying to sell is very close. You know, there's so much land.
That's why I was asking.
But that doesn't look like a huge development. That looks like, what, maybe 20 homes, 30 homes?
Yeah, he could have built more.
Oh, yeah.
He was having labor problems. He couldn't get people to work.
Oh, what a surprise.
And you know what?
Let's open that manufacturing plant.
Another thing, I'm seeing a lot of the Forestry Service, they're coming in and out. So they're coming in and buying, but they'll buy from another forestry guy that's moving, like I'm working with a family now, they're going to Colorado Springs, and then somebody else will come in, hopefully purchase their house.
Sure.
But somebody else bought it like in a day. So.
But okay, the reality is that based on this report, we're hitting the market that they're suggesting. But we're not at a point where we can attract a developer to build 20 houses.
Yeah, we need, that would be nice, because we don't have a lot of new construction, although, you know, you could still have new construction and have your dishwasher and insulation and, you know.
But that developer is going to look how fast can he turn those houses.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the real question.
I remember, too, hearing from Copper Queen Hospital that most of their people that came moved to town to take jobs were living in Hereford and other areas because they didn't like the old housing stock.
I sold a house right down the street from the hospital, you know, on our street, to the hospital because they needed it
for
doctors
to stay,
low overflow. So they do need houses, but a lot of the houses that are for sale are. They're just, they need a lot of work.
Yeah.
They don't
have
inspections.
Well, and they're 2 bedrooms, 1 bath.
They
have old
fuses
and,
So the older people, they'd rather just buy something that's not that major of a fixer-upper. Because they don't want to spend the rest of their years fixing up a house.
Right.
So.
I want to move on to focus on healthcare. When they were looking at the possibility of creating a business, and they... I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek, but they suggested like Canyon Ranch.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, I think our hospital is very good for a small town.
It is.
And our emergency room is excellent. And we certainly can transfer patients to Tucson as long as a helicopter can fly. Do we see a market based on our healthcare industry that we need to explore?
I have a lot of friends, I'd say at least 3 to 4, that are from different areas that are registered nurses that are used to making $80,000, $90,000 a year,
and they come here, and there's no way they can work here. So they're, and they don't want to live out in Sierra Vista. They don't want to live in Tucson. The only way that they can make the money that they're making in other parts of the United States is to go to Tucson. And it's a really big hindrance, because these are talented people. Mm-hmm. We need nurses. We need RNs.
Yeah. And but they're probably used to making $85 to $100 an hour.
Oh,
you know, yeah, and the nurses here are probably making 30.
Right.
You know, and that's just the way it is in rural healthcare.
And it's a real problem because they want to move here, but they
but
can't
find
it.
It's less expensive to live here. They have to do the math.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Still, they still have.
But still yes. If you're used to making $85 or $90,000. You're not interested in going down to 70.
Right.
Well, it depends on whether you want to get away bad enough. I did. You know?
Of course. You're right.
Yeah.
You're
right. You just have to have the motivation.
But
to
let me just, you were asking about the medical, so let me, Copper Queen Hospital, as you know, is took over the spot my office used to be.
Right.
And they're putting physicians in there. Mm-hmm. They're also, down the road, they're going to be putting in a ambulatory surgery area.
Oh, that's great.
Chiricahua is going crazy on Arizona. They've got $1 million reno going on right now. Their pharmacy will be opened in the next couple months for Chiricahua patients. And then they'll be able, hopefully, I'm talking to see if we can get Copper Queen and Chiricahua together on the pharmacy so that everybody can go.
Yeah. The Safeway is
home. I know, that would be great.
The point is, and Chiricahua's putting dental offices in, they're putting optometrists in, ophthalmologists. I mean, this is becoming, Warren's going to become a very heavy medical
That's wonderful.
Area.
That's exciting. Yeah.
And there are more specialists now in Sierra Vista than there ever were.
For the first time, Copper Queen just got a pediatrician.
Well, and they also
they
got
the
Dr. Daly is over there. She's going to be doing
Suzanne,
sorts of work. That's the
Suzanne
only place
Daly.
She's going to work now. So, yeah, but I think just Cochise County in general has just done a huge amount medically since I've been here.
Yeah, well, we're really becoming the medical center of that,
and
surpassing Sierra Vista.
I would go to Copper Queen's emergency room first.
I have.
All right. So what's happening now, we're building a small medical industry in Bisbee. That's exactly what you just laid out.
Yes.
And that's going to attract, one thing this report shows is that there's 35,000 people in our geographical area, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. And that kind of medical center or medical operation will draw upon those 35,000, some coming across the border from Naco, Sonora. So that could be good too.
The only thing we're missing is the housing part of like assisted living.
Yeah.
You know, and dementia care and you know some of those
long-term care
yeah
and we're still working on it.
So
and I frankly looking at the cost of that
was it 40,000 what did you come up with
I came up with $40,000 a year. That's without memory care. And what that means is that people will run their assets to zero, paying for the service.
And then they'll be on access. And then
I mean, it's a vicious circle is what it is.
It's horrible.
There is a market in our town, I've been talking to people, for home health care. There's really a market for that.
Hmm. Well, they have a department at Copper Queen.
Well, that's coming out of surgery and stuff. I've been there. I've been a patient of that. I'm talking about as people age, like our spending habits in our family.
You're talking about like a
nurses,
private home health
nurses
care.
That
not
that
even
in.
Nurses. I mean, people who like
visiting angels,
like
LPNs.
Right.
Yeah, nurse.
I mean, our shopping
assistants.
Was done by one of those people today. That kind of thing. So I'm seeing a market emerging as the population ages, and the aging population statistics in this thing show that we have an aging population. The average age in Bisbee, according to this report, is 47 years old. This report is really...
It is good, huh? I liked it better now than I liked it when they did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you pick it up now, uh-huh. I mean, it really is a heck of a report. The last area they have is the small farming area. Any thoughts on that?
Just the eco-oasis. I didn't know how they would do, but they appear to be doing really well, and they're doing hydroponics in their greenhouse, I think. So there's a very small sort of core group there that, who knows? I mean...
There's some young people that have... They live off the grid out by the airport, and they're also getting into all mm-hmm. of this. It's two young couples. Two women and two men. I don't know how.
Yeah, well, they're a couple of couples.
So my point is they're getting into that. And so I heard that they were having some economic issues, mm-hmm. but I don't know that as a fact. It might be just another Bisbee, whatever.
What were they going to grow? Do you know?
Regular food.
Okay.
I mean,
just a little farm.
Yeah.
Vegetables and things like right. that. No marijuana. Right.
Did you see what...
There are those issues now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah. Well, that's... It would have to be legal first.
We have spent an hour on the discussion of the ULI report, and we've gone through it, which is exactly what you wanted us to do, and I think we did it. Mm-hmm. We've come out with a clear assignment to Stephanie. And we've come out with some ideas to share with the new tourism director when and if he comes, or she comes. Okay, I now want to talk about the SLAC project, because Rob's dad had open heart surgery today.
Have you heard anything?
Huh?
Have you heard anything?
No, I have not. But Rob has brought me up to date. He has 13 people already on SLAC.
What's SLAC?
I'm on Slack, but we haven't gotten any activity.
You weren't at a meeting. You missed Slack.
I was backpacking in California.
You were backpacking. Slack
How dare
is.
You. Have fun.
Kathy, please explain Slack, because if I explain
social
it,
media.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an app that you put on your phone or your computer that allows you to talk to a variety of people. You can create little groups and subgroups and... It's like texting, except it's more organized.
And what we're doing is we're trying to bring the business community on it mm-hmm. and also give a portal to the city. So the city is going to be able to communicate with the business community.
So
I'm still a little confused as to when they start charging you.
When you have like 750,000 messages or something.
So when people... Like
it is weird. We're still trying to work it out. Their first initial contacts was Slack, the corporation, so there wouldn't be any charges. Well, I don't believe that, because Slack is a profit-making organization. What we're going to have to do is go back to Slack and determine what will be the cost and how do we allocate that cost amongst the users.
Because, so let's say, for instance, we go on there and invite people to participate. And what if they are really active? They are like talking like crazy and putting stuff out there, and next thing you know, they're going to get charged.
Well, they're not. Think, that's the problem.
So who is?
I think the city is.
The group.
Yeah.
The group that puts
well,
it out.
What we're going to have to do is I'm going to get involved in this, because I didn't like the first results, to be quite honest, of what they had with their Slack conversation. Well, we probably will end up being some kind of dues paying situation on a yearly basis, hopefully $10 or $20.
That's going to be a nightmare to administer.
Well, that will be a nightmare. Well, let us find out what
my,
it is.
My yeah. main concern about it is
you're
the
you're
city.
Right, Kathy.
The
you're
city
right.
requirement is that you retain all communications with the city.
Oh, yeah.
So every time, if we reach that 750,000 messages, that's when, if as merchants, yeah. we wouldn't have to pay anything. We could just delete, you know, the oldest 250,000.
Oh, because you have to save it.
But yeah, they
so
have
if
to.
You, so we could just keep deleting, and then
the merchants can.
But it's only the city who has
so
that requirement.
Right. So I'm wondering if there isn't a way that we would, you know, the city would be part of a smaller group. you know, where it wouldn't accrue as quickly.
By our next meeting, we should have some visibility on this. On
I hope
Slack,
so, because I'm not seeing any activity
cost.
At all.
It's
I'm afraid.
It's pretty interesting. You know, they talked about it not being offered yet, stock market.
They're coming out with an IPO.
But their the platform that they operate under is there, and just for the heck of it, I explored it. And since that meeting, it's gone up $12 a share.
Really?
In that short period of
time. Oh, yeah.
It's moving.
So. It really is moving. It is heavily used in Silicon Valley. I mean, and they're coming out with an IPO. So, yeah, Slack.
So we should buy stock in it?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Slack,
yeah. Yeah, the platform that it
like
operates
like any
under
tech
is
stock.
Zen. That's its ticker name, Zen.
We have a puppy named Zen at the shelter right now.
Okay. I want to move on, guys, because this meeting's running long. Review of possible action regarding job description and tourism marketing manager. Well, we know the report. David wants to talk about that. David?
Yeah, I want to make sure that everybody understands what happened last night. Is the council passed the new job description.
Okay.
So there's two job descriptions sitting there. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to contact your representatives and push them to go with the one that
the
you,
updated one?
The updated one.
So which what is the other one that they have? The old one?
It's the old one, like what Alona did.
Oh, so they have the old one and the new one.
No social media, blah, blah,
blah. Oh, yeah.
And as you that were there last night heard, there's
it's Ward 3 that's really was handled.
Well,
and Joan doesn't like it either, but she wasn't there, thank God.
No, Joan is okay. Joni doesn't like it.
But she was okay with it.
She didn't.
Okay with it, and Leslie doesn't like it, but said that she would go because
right,
you want.
Right, because we're
why
gone.
Don't? What were the reasons for not liking
they
it?
They don't understand that this person needs, like, the requirements on the new job description are a bachelor's degree,
right?
Graphic arts
right.
experience, and socially being able to work with a lot of people
right.
and prioritize
really
things.
What they're looking at is money. That's really the bottom
and the bottom
I
line
bet.
Was
yeah.
it came out to be like a department head level job mm-hmm. because they're not they're reporting to the city manager. Nobody told Jen what to do. She invented it.
Right.
So they brought it up to the job. I mean, it was very mathematical. They have little job bands and we didn't pick the highest band, mm-hmm. but it was 49 to 69 a year, which I think for somebody, especially
in graphs,
so it's the money. What I'm hearing, I don't like this, but what I'm hearing is the council voted to approve on a very close vote last night,
mm-hmm.
wanted to approve the position description. We'll advertise for that position
but it's the
position.
Money, they didn't approve.
We have to get...
Well, they don't have to. The city manager hires the person.
But we will have to get the other one tossed out.
Do we? Or can we just have one filled and one empty?
You can.
So the bottom line is we hire a city manager who understands computers.
And remember, the other thing is the city manager position is interesting because tourism is our major industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know... Some city managers have understood that, and some city managers
one of them
haven't.
Has, and he was only here 2 years.
I will tell you a very interesting thing. I tried to reach him today, by the
did
way.
Did you?
I tell you a very interesting thing. Nina has served in the city 6 years?
Oh, yeah, 6 years.
6 years. She served under four city managers.
No, she
managers.
Served under
four.
Oh, was Steve still here?
Polkin was still here when she was...
Yep, well, we hired, three of those people were fired from their previous jobs.
But the point is,
Hawken was too.
Yeah, I said three of them, not Justin.
The point is
else.
That the new city manager, one of the things that if we're sitting on the committees that advise on it, is to see where they if they understand the role
technology.
Of tourism in the
and
business
tourism.
And technology and the.
And art. And
the whole thing.
Different kinds of people.
The whole thing.
You know, the other city, the last one never even went downtown. I mean, I think he was afraid to go downtown.
Well, whatever, he's now gone. I mean, I believe in living in the present. And
well, we've done some really stupid things in hiring city managers, so
exactly
I just
right.
hope we remember.
And I
that.
Hope you sit on the advisory committee, because I'm going to make sure you do.
Well, we need to have some kind of a bullet
okay,
list.
Okay, I want to move on, though, guys. Our next item was an item we tabled at our last meeting, which is a discussion of moving this to a quarterly meeting. I have interesting feelings about this. We are beginning to roll again. And I don't know if quarterly meetings work for us, or and if we do all our communications through NIDA versus a discussion. Like today, we actually sat down and discussed the ULI report. What's your take, guys?
Mr. Chair, the reason that I brought this up, and the reason I brought this up is, as you were indicating, you're starting to roll again, and that's fine, but you weren't rolling, and you were stagnating, and it was a waste of city resources, to be quite honest with you.
No, it was. It was kind of... We admitted that in our meetings, that we were stuck. Yeah.
Well, I'm just letting you know that that was the reason it was brought up.
What do you think, David, if we decide to go monthly, we can do that?
If you remain active as you are, and you're actually, you're giving people tasks,
right.
they're going to bring answers back,
yeah.
and you're going to act on those.
I right. felt the best when I was doing the branding thing, because
I
was
felt
busy
the
all the time.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
We,
you know.
When
yeah.
we did
yeah,
the so, branding thing, yeah. I mean, we were really mm-hmm. rolling, and then we slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now rolling again.
So I as mayor, I don't have an issue with that. I mean, NIDA is the one that
poor NIDA
that lives outside Sierra Vista and has to do the driving.
Oh my goodness, we need to move you. We've got some
stuff.
Housing stock.
We've got a lot of land. Bring a tent.
The point is as long as the committee is benefiting the city, then the city's
right.
going in my form, we're going to stand behind you. And do what you what's
okay. Doing. Our next meeting is in March. I don't know the date, and I know you probably got around here knowing how good you are.
The 20th.
March 20th. Now, what I'd like to suggest that we take a look at this on March 20 and see where we are. One of the things, David, that we're going to want to do is have members of the business community serve on an advisory board when the candidate, the finalists for the director of tourism come up. And I think it's not only members of this committee, but augmented. Because as you know, we put out the word for our Thursday meeting literally on Wednesday afternoon. I mean, it was a rush job. And we had a dozen people show up. So there's interest in this. And hopefully when the selection, whoever the selecting official is on the tourism director, will have an advisory committee to recommend what they think based on their final candidates.
Yeah, typically it would be the personnel manager, which we don't have, and the city manager, which we don't have.
Well, hopefully we'll have an interim city manager by the time that we get responses.
Hopefully. So the point is, I can, as mayor, I can certainly recommend that to them and indicate that I would want that to happen. So I don't see a problem
Good.
With that. I'll just...
Because our next meeting in March, I want to discuss tourism and
okay.
in a real direct form. And we will talk about tourism and what can be done and what needs to be done. And I think we'll put the word out to the business community we're going to discuss it. So if we have some other people who would like to visit with us, as you may realize, we run, Stephanie, a rather open meeting. And we solicit people to give us advice. When we first started this committee, which was 4.5 years ago, we had various people come. So the committee had background in economic development, background in medical stuff, and background things to that. So that's how we got started. And I think when we do discuss tourism, there will be people in town who would like to join in. So we'll put the word out using, and now David has got, if we can't get it from Rob, David has got the list of the people who attended the November meeting. He called me at 4:45, and I didn't want to bother you.
Well, I sent it to like 100 people, because I have a lot of people on my computer.
You did good. So. You did good. You have an amazing Rolodex.
Electronics.
Rolodex. Indeed.
But, I have one of those.
So that's the agenda on our March meeting.
May I ask for another item be considered?
Sure.
I would like IBISBE to discuss the Arts and Culture District.
Yes.
As an example, we have all of the signs for the...
Are we supposed to pick those up or something?
I have them. I mean, they're here.
What do I do with it? Doesn't it go up on a street sign?
It does, but it's...
You want me to climb the pole?
I'd like to figure... We have brackets, and I'd like to figure out a way to get the things up.
Because I donated money to make those signs.
So did I.
So did I.
And the Art and Culture District, I talked to Gary.
They're great signs, about this big, and the Bisbee... colors, Bisbee Arts and Culture District. They go on all the street signs down.
So we will have on the agenda also the Bisbee. We'll also have the Bisbee Cultural District on our agenda, and
thank you.
Move forward with that.
Is there something we can do to like?
That's what I'd like to
help with that. Yeah. Okay, that's what we're going
to
talk about.
That's what I'd like to discuss, Kathy, because we don't we. Simply do not.
Well, you know, we can help you. We can help you with social media through Bisbee After 5.
That'd be great. Anything that can be done to get those up?
About how many are there?
Yeah. How many do you have?
There's more than you think.
There's a bunch.
Yeah, and they need to go
like
near
more than
the places 20, that bought them.
Oh yeah, there's more than 30.
Really?
Different businesses bought them.
I don't have names street that song. You have to put them on, or do you
maybe,
have a...
No, we have
well, I asked Carrie,
the
area, I'm like, there's no street sign.
You're going to... The Arts and Culture District starts at the Iron Man.
Okay.
So there's a street sign right there that we'd start, and we down the road want a bigger sign entering, you know. And then it starts at the traffic circle... I'm sorry, at the entry to Old Bisbee.
Okay.
On the other side.
Knuckle Road.
But then also at City Park. Mm-hmm.
Brewery.
Brewery Gulch.
There are a lot of streets.
But all it's of the those core streets and then the
yeah.
streets
commercial
down,
district.
It's a regular streets in downtown commercial district and putting them up there. That's great visual.
Wow.
Is our problem mechanical?
Yeah.
It's people. If everyone
it's getting them up. It's just
yes. it's finding the manpower to do it.
What does that entail? Getting them up? Getting on a ladder
I'm
gonna
have
in
to
the
see
harbor.
What I don't know, Stephanie. Okay. I'm going to have to see what kind of bracket.
Are you going
to
do it?
Yeah. Well,
you know, we have to look at. We'll look at it in our March meeting. Maybe it's a Boy Scout project. I don't know what.
That's
it is.
I'm wondering if it's.
I mean, but we got to worry about liability. Got to worry about a lot of things.
Every business owner take two signs and hang it up somewhere.
I will entertain a motion
okay, one
for
sign.
Adjournment.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Good meeting, guys. Good meeting.
This is really a good report.
Yeah.
I
it's an excellent report. Anyone know something?